Now, when you hear the word behavior, immediately you remember your mom or dad or aunt or grandmother say, you better behave. And really, that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're not really here to discipline people and, you shouted too loud or, you should have done this. We're not talking about that. Actually, the word behavior is corresponding to a lot of words in the Bible that mean conduct. But if you think about through the centuries, through the decades, how many churches have been hindered or hurt because of people not behaving right? And there is a right way to behave in the house of God. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Like I said, this is not right about rules and this, and women can't wear makeup and all that stuff. I'm talking about something that the Bible talks about, and I want to talk about that. So, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 really is the scripture that Paul said. Now, Paul's writing to Timothy, who's at Ephesus, and he says this to him in 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Lord, bless your word tonight, I pray. I want you to notice a few things here. Paul said, I'm going to probably not get there when I said, but there's something you need to understand, Timothy, that the house of God is different than any other place. Behavior is so needed. We're going to talk about the behavior that Paul talked about in a moment. But I want you to notice here, he says the house of God is the church of the living God. Then he says two things. Number one, it's the pillar. A pillar is something that holds up everything else. A pillar is something that gives strength. And then he says it's the ground of the truth. He's talking about doctrines. He's talking about the Word of God. How many believe that people need to be in the house of God because if they don't, they will not be grounded in the truth? How many believe that? There's something about the house of God that cannot be replaced. So Paul said that you, Timothy, might know how to behave in the house of God so that you can be an example to someone else. How many believe that 24/7 we are always being an example to somebody? Amen. I remember I went to the Catholic Church, and I remember that they were very strict with behavior. And one time I was cutting up, and I was fooling around and talking, and so I was taken to a room, and my hands put out and paddled pretty hard, and I was crying from that. I don't do that anymore. But my behavior wasn't very good. Guess what? We don't do that in church. We don't take members in the back and spank. We don't do that stuff. So I'm not talking about that. Amen. I am talking about this. How to behave yourself. Now, it's an interesting Greek word here. The word behave in the Greek means to turn oneself in a certain direction. See, that makes sense to me now that Paul had said that. In other words, Timothy, in the house of God, everyone needs to learn how to turn in a certain direction. How many believe when you come into the house of God, you're not going to Walmart? How many know you're not going to the racetrack? And God forbid the casinos are going to go, whatever. How many know you're not going to a football game? So in the house of God, there's a certain turning I need to do. Not that I'm putting on AC, not that I'm not being who I am. There's just something about it because God is watching over it. Amen. Now, one of the things that God wants us to have is wise behavior in His house. Let me say wise.
Wise.
I love this about David. 1 Samuel 18:14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And what was the result of that? And the Lord was with him. How many want to behave yourself wisely? How many, maybe in the past, have not behaved wisely? How many years ago, as a young Christian, maybe you didn't behave wisely in the house of God? You see, Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says, we all have all the gifts operating, but the problem is your behavior, your conduct is missing love. And he explains to them that all of your striving and all of your contention and comparison is wrong behavior. And I tell you, the Lord will not put his favor on me if I act foolishly enough. If I compare myself with someone, if I have a competitive spirit, if I have an independent spirit, I'm not a team player, if I have my own vision, etc., etc., ad infinitum. David was wise in his ways. You know, we need to be like Moses and pray, Lord, show me your ways. You know, not just show me the problem, show me your ways that I might please you. David was wise. But you know, it says this in chapter 18, verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely. So, not only could he be wise, but very wisely. Now, I want you to notice something here. Saul became afraid of David because even though Saul was not treating David right, David still did what Saul said. He knew to rebel against him. Now there came a place where they were separated. But until that happened, Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely. Praise the Lord. I want to behave myself very wisely. If that's you, give God a shout. Come on. I can't see somebody back here, but I can hear a shout. Now, how about this? Chapter 18, verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that by his name was much set by. You know, we're living in a time where we talk about someone's gifts, or spiritual gifts, or how great they can sing, how great they can preach, how great they can write. Wonderful, wonderful, that's wonderful. That's no substitute for not acting wisely. He behaved himself. We saw the word behave means to turn in a certain direction, to position yourself in the right direction. If someone comes into the house of God and out in the parking lot, they're criticizing the pastor, the temperature, get away from them. That is wrong behavior. Listen, this is God's work. How can people have the audacity to come against the work of God? That's not very wise, is it? So, are things perfect? Never going to be perfect in this world. So, let's behave ourselves more wisely. Let me ask you, when you're in a situation you need to talk to somebody, do you want to talk to somebody that has wisdom or has a track record of church hopping, nothing's ever right in church, etc., etc.? Listen, I'm too old to do that nonsense. I look to men and women of God that have more wisdom than I do. I need that. How about you? Don't ever be content with just a thimble full of wisdom when there's an eternity of it. You see the progressiveness here of wisdom with David. See, many church folks around the world were content with how much wisdom we've got. But the problem is that wisdom was okay 10 years ago. That wisdom was okay before the COVID. That wisdom was okay before all the hell breaking out around the world. We need a wisdom for now, right this moment. We don't need a charismatic wisdom or the revival that happened in the 1800s. We need a wisdom now, but the problem is we're not as humble as David, and so we don't do it, James says. If any man lack wisdom, we all lack wisdom.
Yeah.
And so David was more wisely than anyone. I'm going to tell you something. The house of God is not just something we throw together. We just show up. You know, maybe we pay the bills. Maybe we do the money right. Maybe we put people. Listen, it just don't happen. When the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she was so impressed because everything was done in excellence and it was done in order. And it took her breath away. That's how the house of Paul says, when I beheld your order. Order doesn't mean legalism. It just means there's a spirit of excellence there.
Amen.
That the vision of the house and the anointing is trying to take people beyond what we did 20 years ago. Amen. You don't get to the new thing by casual approaching God. You don't get a new level of God by casually seeking Him. The diligent, he said, the diligent is not only individual, it's collective. When a church says, enough is enough, we're moving on. Well, not only does it take the anointing, it takes wisdom what to do. Wiser than all the servants. Saul, the wonder God put him in charge. I want to talk about how to behave. We're going to look at each letter. How to behave. Turn to somebody and say, I want to learn how to behave in the house of God. First thing, be, let me say be. When you come to the house of God, be ready to listen. Ecclesiastes 5:1, keep thy foot when you go to the house of God and be more ready to listen than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. What's he saying? He's saying, in other words, don't come thinking you know it all. Don't come thinking, you know, I know more than the preacher. I know where this scripture's going. I just heard 5 on TV. I got all the books. I'll kind of just endure this message, this simple message. Don't do that. Just when you come, come ready to listen. Because although you might know a lot, there might be one thing that will change your life. I could look at someone's countenance over these years and see if they're listening or they're just saying, Pastor, hurry up, I gotta, you know, get church over with. God bless them, amen. And I still have to keep my focus. Hey, be ready to listen, he said. Because we don't know it all. God might just use this imperfect, weak vessel of clay feet to speak something from heaven to you. That's why familiarity is long and breeds contempt. Paul says, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet we know Him no more. Keep your foot. Watch how you're walking. Watch where you're going. Watch what you're doing. Be ready. Everybody say, be ready.
Amen.
To listen. Amen. Next one, E. Endeavor to keep unity. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. That word endeavor doesn't mean it just happens. Unity. You know, people come, church people go. When they find out you've got to be a team player here, not do your own vision, your own thing, they don't say. Because they're not behaving right because they're not endeavoring to keep unity. It takes work to have unity in your marriage.
Amen.
It takes work to have unity in your family.
Amen.
It takes work to have unity on your job. Do you think just because we're saved, sanctified, going to heaven, it can shout? Do you think it's because of that unity that shows up? No, it doesn't. Unity only comes, number one, the anointing comes down. But number two, unity comes because we have the same cause and the same purpose. The vision of this house is from Jesus Christ, not from those small. Not for me. I wouldn't dare give my own vision. I'm not going to stand before a holy God and give an account of my own vision. So when it's imparted, we write the vision that he that readeth may run. Amen. For the vision is for an appointed time.
Yeah.
Has an appointment with us. Vision of the house is an appointment. How many had an appointment this week or last week? God says there's an appointed time and God will do it. That's wonderful. But he's got to have people. Third thing is have humility. I said have humility.
Amen.
Now this is the thing. Someone said, well, if you think or know you have humility, you really don't. Well, I disagree with that. I know when I'm being kind to somebody.
Right.
That's an attribute. Why shouldn't I know if I'm walking in humility. You mean I got to walk around wondering if I'm in pride or not? Doesn't make sense. Peter said, be clothed with humility. How many put your clothes on today? You've got to make an effort. And I'm going to tell you what the effort is. This is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, not only in the New Testament. For God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Could it be the amount of grace I'm walking in is to the level of humility before God? How many know we need more grace? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you one of my definitions of humility. To me, this is one of the only ones. There's a lot of them. We need to have a realistic perspective to look back and see what we would be without the grace of God. We need to look back and see before Christ what we were. Paul said some of you were liars, some of you were immoral, some of you were cheaters. If I don't look back and see what I was, and I cannot appreciate the grace now, because see, when I look back and see what I was and how grace has changed me, it brings a humility. So if I show any attributes of Christ, it has nothing to do with me.
Amen.
It has to do with His word.
Amen. Amen.
So people are attracted to humility. Individuals get proud. Christians get proud. They're more spiritual than they know more. Churches, congregations get proud. Like, we've got God. We've got God resists them. But for the grace of God. That story was a preacher back in the 1800s. He went there when they still had public babies. It's a famous preacher, I don't know if it's Jonathan Edwards, one of them. And he went there and he watched. And as he walked away, he said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there'd no life. That's where they came from, the preacher. And every once in a while, instead of praying for everybody and interceding and all that, I just stop before God and I think about, oh God, what was I thinking? Why these teenagers, what? God. It wasn't for your grace. I can't boast of good works or tell of good deeds, for naught have I done to merit His grace. I cannot boast in the size of a bill. I cannot boast. I cannot boast but in my infirmities, because in my infirmities I see again it was the grace of God that's got me here. Not by spirituality, not by knowing all the Bible, not knowing the latest book and whatever. You know, it's very easy to discern pride, isn't it? I try to talk to people all the time when I go to different stores, and some of them are others. I can tell them, like, why are you talking to me? Rude. Walk in front of the, I say, excuse me for what? Listen, pride is it? But so is humility. Find somebody that shows more humility than you. Find out your secret. You know, you can learn from that. Because if you can learn how to be kind from someone, I love being around kind people. I love being around people. I don't feel I have to put on a pony show. I don't have to prove nothing. They might even see things I don't, but yet the kindness still comes. See, I love those type of people. I'd rather have those than people that can prophesy and do the leads of church. I love being around kind folks, but I'm not always around kind folks. So when I'm not around kind folks, I become the example to show them what kindness is. I not react to the root. I've met a lot of Christians that are rude. done this thing a long time, 4 decades. Don't understand it. You have a bad day, I understand, but having a bad day and being critical and rude is so away from Christ. And let's go to the next one. How about this? A, attend consistently. That has to do with behavior. Hebrews 10:45, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, as the conduct, as the behavior of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so, well, I've got great behavior. But why do you're in church twice a month? Get up there. Also, don't do that because that's the wrong behavior. And if you stay away from church, you'll stay away from church. If you stay away from church, you'll stay away from church. That's what very concerns me very much about last year. That so many people not going to church. And they get into this false thing. And I understand social distancing. I understand that. But things are opening up. The thing is, you get too comfortable getting up on Sunday morning, having breakfast, and turning on your favorite preacher, and that's it. But that's not scriptural. No, I'm going to say it again, y'all can get it. That's not scriptural. Not when the house of God is open, that's not scriptural. Because, number one, we're to gather together. Number two, you need the presence of God. Number three, you need fellowship. Number four, you need to bring your offering. Number five, you need to bring yourself so the word can touch you.
Amen.
Don't forsake the assembly. There's no amount of excuses I can make for doing this. Not going to happen. See, that's wrong behavior. It's wrong conduct. But sheep will follow sheep.
Mm.
We'll follow sheep right off a cliff. The blind will lead the blind. Anyway, it's the everybody say the very thing.
Very thing.
What's to be my behavior? My behavior is this: that when I come to the house of God, I have a confidence that God is not only working outside the house of God, but He's going to work on the inside to finish what He started. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the house of God is very important. God doesn't just say, tell sheep, well, just find, do what you want, go where, you know, do. That's not true. Sheep need a shepherd. I said sheep need a shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. But when I come to the house of God, all the years that God was preparing me for the ministry, man, I was there Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday morning, 8:30, 10:30, Sunday night, listening to preaching, listening to prophets. Why? Because God was working in me. And the same with you. He said, listen, you can't have confidence if you are not behaving right by staying away. Because in the house of God, prophecy comes, prayer comes, someone smiles, someone says, I've missed you. There is a confidence that comes with the work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The very thing. E, ever say E? Our behavior, we need to enter in. Very important, Daniel stuff. Very important. Just coming through those doors, I could actually come through the doors, through the worship, and preaching and never enter in. That's wrong behavior. That's wrong behavior in the house of God. Just up there looking around, distracted. The Bible tells us the formula. Psalm 100. Verse 4, enter his gate. Enter. I mean, now enter is a verb. Enter, there's motivation, there's movement. Enter into his gates. I don't know about you. I don't know if there's many people that have gates that, you know, to your house. You go through the gates to get to your house. Driveway, people in Hollywood have gates. You got to enter into the gates to get where the person is that lives. It's very possible, like I said, to come in and out. We've never entered. We've done our service. We've done everything. Enter the gates with what? Thanksgiving. You know what I found out? This isn't talking about all of a sudden. I go, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. It's talking about a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Very few people can get their thanks on from their car, the parking lot, to the pew. If I haven't lived a thankful life, it probably is not going to come out. I'm bothered about this, bothered about that, complained about this. I'm not living a thankful life, and I'll probably not enter that gate. And then, you know, the people, you know, I'm not getting anything out of that church. I just didn't get anything out of that worship. I get nothing out of that preacher. Nobody there shook my hand. And the audacity to ask us to come up and bring money. But I got my 2 quarters out and halfway up, I put them back. I can't believe preachers just want no money. You old unthankful thing, go watch the Christmas Carol, would you? Because they're making a new one and you need to play the Scrooge. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what?
Praise.
This isn't praise. But Terry's leaving. This isn't praise. time just to sit there. You're doing your own thing. When it's the anointing there, right? Man, let's do this. And then there's other times when it comes down, and I don't need to be shouting. I do need that deep flood of Jesus. I gotta behave right. I can't think I'm more spiritual because I just do this, the whole service and worship. And I can't think I'm more spiritual because I shout the whole time. We gotta have the mind and the spirit, and all of us together move forward with the Holy Spirit inside. That's behaving right in the house of God. Well, I never shout in the house of God. Yeah, we know that. But there's times to shout, folks. And there's times not to. Shout out to God in the voice of Christ. And if we miss the Holy Spirit's moving in the worship, and we don't enter into what He's saying, then when I get up here, I know we even never even touch nothing, and it's three times as hard to preach the gospel. It all comes back to unity. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. What I love about God is He doesn't need multitudes to release His glory through His gates. Instead of two or three, just two or three, they get this thing. I'm going to do it. Everybody say, enter in.
Amen.
Thanksgiving. Praise. Thank you. Bless His name. How do we make this? We don't talk down to people. We don't command people to do something. We don't make them do something. We don't talk to our brothers and sisters like you're talking to your child. That's not our place.
Amen.
I said it's not our place.
Amen.
We have to encourage and not look down at somebody, whether just with the mask said, whether we're the mask, they don't wear the mask. Let's get over it, folks.
Amen.
Holy Spirit is trying to find a place to land. I know He's inside of us, but I'm just configuratively like, you know, He on the ark, He landed, you know. Came back. So the Holy Spirit wants to come back to this house with an olive leaf.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit wants to come back and take all of us. Behavior. You should, and I should, every service encourage one person. Don't come in and just go out. Find somebody and say, hey, it's good to see you. Every service, we should not miss that because I only reap what I sow.
Mm.
It shouldn't be coming in, da-da-da, and I leave. No, that's not right behavior. That's wrong behavior. Wrong behavior. Because it's not love. It's self-centeredness. Sin is self-bending in on itself. That's what Lucifer did. Love through discipline.
Mm.
You have to love through discipline.
Mm-hmm.
If I really want to love like Jesus, Paul said, you know, the problem of your conduct is you're acting like a child. When I was a child, I acted like a child. How many believe it's time for the body of Christ to grow up?
Amen.
You don't hear that message much. You know, we're not a daycare center, right? Where we all just think, you know, okay, my door is your choice, and I don't like this one. Are you kidding me? When I became a man, I put away that junk. I made a decision. Whenever we pass away on our tombstone, it'll be two different things. Either the problems I created or the problems I saw. The people will know us by that. But if you want to be a problem solver,
amen.
What do you think? You think we're on the brink? You think the signs are? Shall you not know it? He said, I said, I will do a new thing. Shall you not perceive it? Don't you perceive something's coming or something's happening? But our problem is this. Wineskins are hard, unyielding, unteachable, independent, unsubmitted, hard, willfully hard. God says, step aside, let David come down. David said this, and I'm going to close. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, but I have behaved myself like a weaned child weaned of its mother, not to man, not controlled. He said, I have behaved myself because I know what I am without the grace of God. In fact, many of us might not even be alive or in prison. Jesus said this. He said, come unto me, all you labor, turn just a little bit, all you that labor are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Then we stop there. The next part marries that scripture. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Staying on the road of meekness and lowliness, you will always behave yourself in the house of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. This is your work. This is your house. You started it. You're going to finish it. We're just servants, your friends, doing your bidding. We pray, Lord, that you would send laborers with your heart that will behave themselves, that we might finish your work, your good pleasure. We thank you for it. We praise you.